30 minutes to curtain. Yes, it's 30 Minutes to Curtain, bringing you a weekly half hour of radio entertainment. Each week at this time, we bring you mystery, comedy, adventure, romance, fantasy, and fun. This week, stand by for adventure as we take you to the Old West of 1870 and join a young cowboy on his first trail drive in a story written by Steve Jelf, Incident at Mud Creek. And now, here's the play. It's a hot summer afternoon. The year is 1927. An old man sits on a porch swing. He nods and dozes, a half-read newspaper spread across his lap. A young man walks along the quiet, elm-shaded street, turns into the yard, and stops at the porch step.
Mr. Burns? Mr. Burns?
What? Oh, hello there, young fella.
You are Mr. Burns? Mr. James Burns?
That's right. What can I do for you, son?
Mr. Burns, my name's Harry Campbell. I'm a reporter for the Osage City Record. My editors assigned me to write a story on the 20th anniversary of Oklahoma statehood.
Well, that's right. It has been 20 years, hasn't it? Don't seem that long. I guess time flies when you're having fun. 20 years.
Admission day isn't until November, so I can take my time and do a thorough job. I'd like to go back to the early days, before statehood, and talk to some of the first pioneers who settled here. Get their stories. When I started asking around town, folks said you were one of the first.
Yeah, I sure was.
If you don't mind taking the time to talk to me, I'd like to hear some of your recollections.
Well, now, I think I could fit you into my busy schedule. You better come on up here on the porch and set, though. This could take quite a while. I'll have my granddaughter turn down that radio. Mary!
Yes, Grandpa?
Would you step out here for a minute? I've been living with my granddaughter and her family for the past few years since I lost my wife.
I thought I heard voices out here.
Mary, this is Mr. Campbell. He's a reporter. Wants to interview this old pioneer for the newspaper.
How do you do?
Pleased to meet you.
I've just made some lemonade, Grandpa. Can I get you some?
Oh, thanks, darling. That hit the spot.
You'll have some, too, won't you, Mr. Campbell?
Yes, thanks.
Would you turn down that radio while you're in there? I'm going to have to grease this porch swing one of these days. I wish I could cure creaky old bones with a little dab of grease.
Here we are.
Thank you, dear. That's just what the doctor ordered.
Mr. Campbell?
Thanks.
If you gentlemen will excuse me, I have peas to shell.
Call me if you need anything, Grandpa.
Well, thanks, darling. Well, now, I hope you're ready to have your ear bent, young man.
Yes, sir. When did you first come to Oklahoma?
Well, first time I came to Oklahoma, well, of course, it wasn't Oklahoma. It was Indian Territory then. Well, the first time I seen it was in 1870. But to start the story proper, I suppose I should go back a few years before that. I was born in Texas in 1853. My daddy was a farmer down there. When the war came, he went off to fight for Southern rights. Well, he didn't hold with slavery, but he was loyal to Texas, and he said it was his duty to fight for her. Well, anyway, he rode home often. I was proud as punch, of course. I just knew he'd whoop all them Yankees. Then, one day, my ma received a letter that wasn't in my daddy's handwriting.
Jimmy, it's from Captain McDonald. Your father won't be coming home, son. Now you're the man of the house.
Man of the house. I was 12. I had to quit school, of course. A woman alone couldn't run a farm. A woman and a 12-year-old kid could barely make a go of it. Well, the war was over in April. In a few weeks, the men started coming home. Captain McDonald came by the place to pay his respects.
Sarah, there was no better sergeant in my command than Ezra Burns. His death was a grievous personal loss to me, and writing that letter telling you of it was a bitterly painful duty.
Thank you, Captain. I know that Ezra was proud to serve with you. If he was here, I'm sure he'd tell you so. In his letters, he often wrote of his admiration for you.
You know that I stand ready to assist you and young Jim in any way I can. I would be a wretched knave indeed if I failed to help the wife and son of my old comrade.
I don't know what to say, Captain McDonald.
Just say that if there's ever any way I can help, you won't hesitate to call on me.
Very well, Captain. But I pray we'll have no need to take advantage of your kind offer.
Well, we struggled along and managed to scratch out a living for a while there on the farm. Ma took in sewing and did laundry to bring in a little cash, and I raised a lot of our food. In fact, as time went by, I got to be a pretty fair farmer. Then, when I was almost 17, I came in from spring plowing one day.
Ma, you in here? Ma! Ma! Let me help you up. Here. Sit on the edge of the bed. Are you all right? What happened?
I don't know what it is. I was just sitting by the window sewing, and then I was on the floor.
You're burning up. Here. Lay down on the bed. I'll get some water. Here. Now drink this.
Thank you, son.
Now you just lay there and rest. I'm going to town and fetch the doctor. How about it, Doc? What's the matter with her?
Well, it's her heart, Jim. She's going to need a lot of rest. Everyone in the parts knows how hard the two of you have worked to make a go of this farm. But I'm afraid your mother won't be able to work that hard from now on. If she does, I fear she won't last long.
Captain McDonald, when you came home from the war, you told my ma to call on you if she never ever needed the help. Well, she can't come to ask you for help now, so I'm asking for her.
I'll be proud to do whatever I can, Jim. Your mother's a fine woman, and she deserves the best.
Captain McDonald was a man who kept his word. Well, he brought my ma and me to live on his ranch. Ma wanted to help out around the place, and she did some. But Captain McDonald and his wife made sure she didn't try to do too much. As for me, well, I was looking forward to a career of high adventure as a cowboy. But I had a few things to learn first. Captain McDonald took me out to the corral that first day.
Miguel! Charlie! Come on over here.
I'll introduce you to two of my best hands.
Good morning, boys.
Good morning, boys. I'd like you to meet Jim Burns. Jim, this is Charlie Howard.
Howdy.
And this is Miguel Vega.
Charlie, Miguel, I'm pleased to meet you.
Jim's a farm boy, so I'd like you boys to make a ranch hand out of him.
You bet.
Don't worry, boss. We'll make him a real vaquero.
Come on, Jim. We'll show you around.
For the next month or so, we worked on branding calves. I took to ranch life like the well-known duck to water, and for long I fancied myself a real frontiersman. I got to know some of the other fellows that worked for Captain McDonald. Colin York was an Englishman, what they called a remittance man. He was under some kind of cloud back home in England, so his family sent him a little money each month so long as he'd stay away. Dan Blake was a veteran from Alabama. His two brothers died in the war, and the family lost their farm, so Dan came on out west. And there was Ed Hill, was a preacher's son from New England. He could cuss through a 10-inch board. And there was Jack Davis. He was older than the rest of us, about 30, I guess, and what he didn't know about cowpunching just wasn't worth knowing. I didn't know it yet, but Colin, Ed, Dan, and Jack, along with Charlie and Miguel, were going to be part of the first great adventure of my young life. One day in early May, Captain McDonald called me into his office.
Jim, with most of the cattle rounded up and the branding done, there'll soon be a herd of 2,000 longhorns ready to go to market. Do you know where that is?
Yes, sir. All those cows have to go up the trail to Kansas. That's where the railroad is.
That's right. Do you know how far that is?
No, sir, but I reckon it ain't no little sachet.
It's a trail drive of nearly 700 miles. That's 700 miles of dust, mud, wind, heat, dust, Indians, hard work, and more dust. You think you're up to it?
Just let me at it.
That's what I thought you'd say. Ordinarily, I'd be reluctant to send a boy who just turned 17 out on a job like that. But I've been watching you for the past few weeks since you came here, and I like what I've seen.
Thank you, Captain.
Jack tells me you get along real well with all the men. He says you're a fast learner.
I figure it's easy to learn when you like what you're doing.
Well, on a trail drive, you'll need all you've learned.
I aim to give it my best, Captain.
I know you will, Jim.
I became the sixth cowpuncher on this particular drive. Miguel was our wrangler. I think he may have been part horse himself. Jack Davis was trail boss. And Gonzalez, why, he was the cook that led off with the chuck wagon each day. He'd go ahead of the herd and be ready for us to stop for dinner around noon. Of course, we always had to have men watching the herd, so we ate in shifts. I recall one day Charlie and I sat in the shade of the chuck wagon and dined on beans while we discussed the nature of cows.
There ain't no more contrary critter on earth than Texas longhorns. Just when you think you know them, they'll do the opposite of what you expect.
Every time?
No, they're unpredictable. Least little thing's likely to spook a couple of them, and before you know what happened, you have a full-blown stampede on your hands.
What's most likely to set them off?
Anything. Lightning and thunder, of course. Dogs bark. The crack of a branch breaking. Anything at all.
Is there any way to stop them?
Well, if you can get ahead of them and fire your pistol, sometimes you can turn the leaders and get the herd to circle. And if that don't work, you'll spend several hours trying to round them all up, because there'll be cows scattered for miles.
Sounds like we're going to keep plenty busy.
Most likely so, but not necessarily because of stampedes. Every herd's different. On some drives, they'll stampede at the drop of a hat. Other herds will make it all the way just as calm as you please.
Well, let's hope we have a calm one.
Well, I'll say amen to that.
You want some more beans?
Nah, we better get back to the herd so Ed and Colin can take their dinner break.
Here comes Jack.
Now, howdy, Jack. Anything new up ahead?
Pretty much like last year. Good grass around Turkey Creek. What about them down there tonight? One thing, though. I saw some signs there'd been a good-sized Comanche camp just this side of the creek. Most likely they're long gone from these parts, but we'd all better keep our eyes open just the same.
Well, I'll pass the word to the others.
We didn't see hide nor feather of any Comanches, and things went along without too many problems all through Texas. But toward the end of the third week out, I was riding flank one afternoon. Charlie was up front riding point. I saw him signal for me to join him, so I rode on up to see what he wanted.
What is it, Charlie?
Take a look off there in the distance. You see that row of trees?
Yeah. Looks like a stream.
That's the Red River. We should be there in a couple of hours.
That's the end of Texas, ain't it?
Yeah, that's Indian territory you see off to the north.
Are we likely to run into any trouble with Indians?
Nah, they're mostly Creeks, Choctaws, Chickasaws. Some of them might ask for a cow or two for letting us cross their land, but they ain't very warlike. Of course, if we run across Kiowas or Comanche, that could be another story.
Shouldn't we get our rifles out of the chuck wagon and carry them with us?
What for? Jack rides out ahead every day to scout the trail. He's likely to see any hostiles and come back to warn us. Besides, a dang rifle hanging on your saddle ain't going to help your roping them.
I guess it would kind of be in the way.
Well, we best pay attention to these cows. They ain't had a drink since Panther Creek. They may take a notion to run when they smell water.
Ain't this the life?
Compared to what?
Compared to anything. Well, I don't reckon old Bulldog Grant sitting up there in the White House and puffing on expensive cigars could be any happier than I am right now.
I guess we are kind of laying in the lap of luxury, right, McGill?
Was there loco weed in your frijoles tonight, amigo?
No, really. Look what we've got. Now the beans and sourdough biscuits may not be very fancy victuals, but they're mighty tasty after a day in the saddle.
Yeah, old Gonzalez is a pretty good cook.
We got a nice serenade with Ed playing a lullaby for the herd. The lightning bugs put on a show for us every evening. And look at that sky with the Milky Way and all those thousands of stars so bright. Well, they look like it could just reach right up and grab a handful.
Well, I guess we really are better off than a lot of folks in this old world.
Why, sure. And look at Colin. Comes from a rich family in England. And he says he'd stay over here even if they asked him to come home.
How about you, Miguel? Is there anything you'd rather do?
Well, a trail drive is a hard way to earn $100. But no, I think to be a cowboy is a good life for me. Is there anything you'd rather do, Charlie?
Oh, I don't reckon so. This really is a good life as far as I'm concerned. But there is one thing I want to do that I ain't never done before.
What is that?
I'd like to learn to read and write.
Well, Charlie, if you really want to learn, I'd be proud to teach you.
You know how to read, Jim?
I've been to school. Almost finished the fifth grade. And I got some reading at home, too. My folks used to read from the Bible every evening. How about it, Charlie? Want to give it a try?
You really mean you'll do it?
Of course I will. After all, you're teaching me cowpunching. I don't reckon I'd be on this trail drive if it wasn't for you.
When can we start?
How about tomorrow, after supper? Before it gets dark.
I'll be ready. But I better get some shut-eye now. I got night guard at 10.
Well, I got third watch at midnight myself.
Week or so, things went along pretty smooth. I'd begun my job of teaching Charlie to read, and one evening after supper, we were holding class with a dime novel I brought along from home.
Crack, crack, crack. Unluckily for old Jack Farley, his aim was not EQL.
Equal.
Equal to his courage.
Courage.
His aim was not equal to his courage. His shots were both bad misses. A shower of cold lead.
Lead.
A shower of cold lead came in answer. That's
real good, Charlie. You're pretty smart for a cowboy.
Well, I did already know the names of the letters before you started teaching me how they work.
Well, if you read that good after not much more than a week, we'll have you reading Shakespeare by the time we get to Abilene.
Did you bring along any of Mr. Shakespeare's books, Jim?
Bring one? Heck, I ain't never seen one. I did go to see a Shakespeare play in Austin once. Julius Caesar. It was a pretty good show.
Well, I had enough education for tonight. I believe I'll turn in.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie?
Yeah, I'm up.
You can't find Jim. He's gone.
What do you mean, gone?
Didn't show up on night guard at 4. His bedroll's here, but nobody's seen him.
What about his horse?
Cicero's gone, too.
Jack, look what I found.
Jim's hat.
Where'd you find it, Miguel?
He was off to the west of camp, about halfway to where the herd's bedded down.
Well, that's not a good sign. No cowboy'd go off and leave his hat.
Where do you think he is?
I don't know, Miguel. It just don't make sense. No sense at all.
Jack, we're fixing to have a visitor.
Yeah, looks like a Comanche.
What do you think he wants?
Yeah, beef, more than likely.
He has friends over there.
I see them. Don't look like you're in a hurry, but go and tell others to keep still. If somebody gets trigger happy, we could all lose our hair.
Howdy, cowman.
Howdy.
You know this is Indian territory.
Well, we don't aim to settle here. We're just passing through.
Cattle herds, cowboys, going through Indian land, scare off game.
Not much luck hunting, huh?
Women, babies, getting hungry.
I reckon we can spare a couple of head to help you out.
Could use more.
And just how many you got in mind?
Oh, 100, baby.
100?
You can spare them. You got plenty. Maybe too many. You got plenty men for so many cattle?
Well, I did until this morning. One of my men's gone. Maybe you've seen him?
Indians good hunters. If you give us 100 cows, maybe we find him for you.
Yeah, and if we don't, maybe we won't see him again. Is that right?
Maybe.
I need to talk to my men first. You wait right here.
What did he say, Jack?
Well, the way he puts it, if we give him 100 head, they might find Jim for us. I'm pretty sure they've got him. It'd be quite a coincidence, Jim disappearing and them showing up here the same morning offering to find him.
What can we do? It seems like they... Hey, look! The Comanches! Here they go!
Ah, dang. They must have figured we was up to something.
If they have Jim, we better follow them.
Did you see how many of them there were?
Sure. 3.
And you know there's bound to be more of them. If we follow them and catch up with the whole bunch, they'll have us outnumbered. That sure won't do Jim any good, especially if they see us coming.
You mean we can't do nothing?
Well, I figure all we can do is wait until they get over their skittishness and come back.
Then what?
I hate like blazes to do it, but I don't see any way out except to give them their 100 head.
Jack was right, of course. They had me back at their camp, trussed up like a calf at Brandon. 4 of them had jumped me as I was on my way to my turn at night guard. But what Jack didn't know was that that's all there was of them, just 4. 3 of them went to try to strike a deal with Jack, and the 4th stayed behind at their camp by Mud Creek to keep an eye on me. But when them 3 came back and joined their friend, they all had a palaver. Well, I didn't understand none of their lingo, so I didn't know what they was up to. All I knew was that they had me tied to a cottonwood, that it was hotter than blazes, and that mosquitoes the size of ducks were having a feast on my neck. And then I heard something sort of rustle in the grass behind me.
Don't move or look around.
Charlie!
Shh! I'm cutting you loose. Stay right where you are. I'm going to work my way around to where the horses are tied. When I get to the horses, you be ready to move. I'll take Cicero and spook their ponies. Be ready to climb on behind me.
Yeah, giddy up there. Yeah.
Come on up. Let's go. Come on. Yeah.
Thank you.
Charlie, if you ain't the one, you're about the prettiest sight this side of Abilene.
Now, you ought to see me after I had a bath.
You really did take quite a chance, following them Comanches to their camp like that and getting me out of there.
Well, I didn't have much choice in the matter. I had to do it.
Why?
I need you to teach me to read.
Well, that's it, Mr. Campbell. What do you think?
That was quite an adventure, Mr. Burns.
Yes, that was 57 years ago. And I can still see old Charlie just the way he was then. Miguel and Jack and all the rest.
How was the rest of that first trail drive to Abilene? Did you have any more notable adventures?
Oh, yes. There's plenty of other things I could tell you about. But Charlie Howard saving me from them Comanches at Mud Creek was the big one. You see, we later heard that them four pulled the same thing on another outfit. Except that fellow they took didn't come out alive. So Charlie really did save my bacon.
Do you keep in touch with your friends from the old days?
Oh, some. Of course, most of them are gone now. But I had a letter from Charlie just the other day. He lives down at Boley.
Boley? That town was settled by coloreds. Isn't it kind of unusual for a white man to live there?
White man? Well, that's a good one. Son, old Charlie's black as midnight. White man. I gotta tell Charlie about that. He'll get a chuckle out of that one. Oh. Well, if you'll excuse me, son, I've about talked myself out for today.
I certainly want to thank you, Mr. Burns. For me, it was time well spent.
My pleasure. And I hope you get something you can use. Come back any time. My family's heard all these reminiscences of mine, so I'm glad to have a new audience.
Goodbye, sir.
Goodbye, son.
Incident at Mud Creek was written and produced by Steve Jelf and directed by Herbert T. Schmidt, Jr. Our engineer was C.R. Bryan III. Technical assistant, Jerry Williams. Sound patterns were by Phil Campbell, John Greifendorf, Barbara Watkins, D.F. Langford, and Kedron Bryson. Our story starred Ed Hayes as old and young Jim Burns, Frank Finn as Charlie Howard, and Gene Wiles as Jack Davis. Also in the cast were Charles Girardi, Barbara Watkins, Ruth Marcus, Phil Campbell, Bob Lyons, Stan Rayburn, and A.Q. Farns. This is your announcer, Bob Lyons, inviting you to join us again next week for The Man Says Yes with Bob Shannon, right here on 30 Minutes to Curtain.